Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 17. 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 to 17. The title is The Part 2 of My Mizpah. Part 2 of My Mizpah. I'd like to read 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 to 17. And the man of Kiriath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came about from the day that the ark remained of the Kiriath Jearim that the time has long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel is lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served the God alone. Then Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. And they gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the son of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling ram and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them, so that they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of the Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Bechar. When Samuel took a stone and set it between the Mizpah and the Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, Thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hands of the Lord was against the Philistines all the day of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from the Israel were restored to Israel from Akron even to Gath. And the Israel delivered their territory from the hands of the Philistines, so there was peace between the Israel and the Amorite. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he used to go annually on circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he returned was to Ramah, for his house was there, and there he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord of God. The rest time is through Jacob's the Mishpat. We learned that God is not the watchful God the Laban imagined, but rather the God who knows all our circumstances, encourages us, and the desire to be one with us. God heard Jacob's earnest prayer 20 years earlier at the Bethel to become the Jacob's God, the God who would fulfill his redemptive history, God waited 20 years, even though Jacob could only confess him as the God of Abraham and Isaac. Then at the Mishpat, Jacob made a confession of faith, acknowledged the God he revered, the God who had answered all his prayers, protected him, and guided him. Finally, at the vineyard, Jacob completely settled all his past life before meeting the God of Vedder and received a new name from God, Israel, the victor. You can see the Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. Then finally, returning to the land of Canaan, he built an altar at Shechem and confessed that the God of his ancestor was his God. According to the Genesis chapter 33, verse 20, then he erected there an altar and called it El Eloi Israel, God of Israel. Thus, God could appear not as the God of the dead since Adam, but as the God of the living, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the restoring faith, obedience, and deed. You can find that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, through the Jesus, I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of dead, but of the living. The beginning of Jacob's Mishpat was when the Laban was regarded as a God overseeing the covenant between humans. However, through Jacob's faith, is transformed into Mishpat, where the gods of deliverance protect, guide, and save me. Now, 700 years later, the Samuel's Mishpat in today's passage emerges as God who watches over and examines all of Israel, a shift from a God of Jacob who watched over individuals. If only the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has been faithfully passed down to the descendant of Israel. But because they did not receive God nor live godly lives, they ultimately suffered invasion from surrounding nations and endured continuous oppressions. The worst event was the loss of the Ark of God mentioned at the beginning of today's passage. The reason was that it had become a time of ikavot. You can see that 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. As you well know, the origin of the term is ikavot, dates back to the era of Elias, the priest before the prophet Samuel. When the wife of the Phinehas, the second son of Eli, the priest, heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines and that her father-in-law, Eli, her husband, and her brother-in-law, and all died on the same day, she was overcome with shock and collapsed. At the moment, the baby she was carrying was born in difficult labor. As the rain died, she saw the child and named him, calling him Ikavot. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. The Ikavot means no honor, no glory, all has departed. As you see, the 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 22, I like to read, and she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken. That is the meaning is Ikavot. What on earth was happening in Israel at that time? At that time, God's word, his revelation has ceased. You can see the 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The reason was the priest Eli had two sons and they were men who did not know God. Naturally, not knowing God, they despised the sacrifice offered to him. They stole the offerings of meat for God. They were also wicked men who buried the woman in the temples. You can see that the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 to the 22. What angers God even more than this was Eli's the conduct. Despite the hearing about the wicked deed of these two sons, he failed to discipline them severely. Let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 2, 24. The priest Eli said to them, "No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating." Even though they were his own sons, he should have thoroughly confronted their sins, put them to death, and set an example of deliverance for God before the people of Israel. He scolded them, but they did not heed their father's word and continued to sin. In truth, their persistent sin was entirely Eli's responsibility. First, it was his spiritual conditions. He failed to nurture them in the word. He should have prevented them their crime, even if it meant striking them with the load until they were not near death. You can find that the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 to 14 is God told us, "Do not hold back discipline from the child, although you beat him with the load, he will not die. You shall beat him with the load and deliver his soul from sore," that the hell, right? God saw Eli's actions and said, "You honor your sons more than me." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. "Bring judgment and curse upon his household." In short, he disregarded the gods of Mishpah who oversees all Israel. The problem of Eli's household living without recognizing God was not confined to one family, but was the problems of all Israel. They perceived the Ark of God's covenant merely as a tool to win wars. This means that they treated God as a little more than an idol protected them. Therefore, is God provoked the Palestinians. As a result, the Israel suffered the Palestinian invasion at the Battle of Aphek, where the 34,000 men died and the Ark was captured. According to the 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 to 10, you can find that there. The priest, while the Ark was captured, was Ebenezer. You can see the 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. Sometime later, the Ark returned, but they did not understand why they had to live under Palestinians' bondage for 20 years. This was because they did not recognize God and lived without deliverance or godliness. Jacob was able to restore his relationship with God because he lived with an awareness of God for 20 years under Rabbans. However, the Israelites, though the Ark of the Covenant had been with them for 20 years, lived merely in spiritual numbness. However, according to the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2, is God's start work. Let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. "And it came about from the day that the ark remained at Kiriyarim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." The Israelites did not begin to long for God because they themselves awakened to this desire. It was because the God of abundant grace and poured into their heart a longing for Him. According to the Discardia, chapter 12, verse 10, is God's work as like this. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. So is Rome chapter 2, verse 4 is continually explained about that. Or do you think rightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that his kindness of God leads you to repentance? Right there, Samuel makes the proclamation in the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from the among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him alone, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. To end the tragedy of Ichabod, God declared that if they would first abandon the foreign gods and Ashtaroth, turn their heart fully toward Him as come out, He would deliver them from the Philistines. And He commanded them to gather at the Mishpah. It was a proclamation to live before the eyes of the gods they liberated. The beginning of this revival movement at the Mishpah is, first, is repentance. It is turning back to God with all one's heart wholeheartedly. How to they return? To serve God alone, we must abandon everything God hates and does not desire, everything occupying our heart and our heart besides God. Let's look at the Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Scripture said, therefore, consider the member of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amount to idolatries. We must seek only the Lord and the Father's, neither seeking nor thinking about anything belongs to the earth. I give you another one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. I like to read. If then you have been raised up with Christ, to keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. We must remove every idol within us. Greed is when self-interest and self-centered thought come first. And secondly, they pray to God. They drew water and pour it out before the Lord as an offering. This was a libation offering, symbolizing that they pour out their repentance, heart, and deep sorrow for their sins before God in genuine repentance. This is the first step in recognizing God and liberating Him. Let's look at the lamentation of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Arise, cry aloud in the night, at the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Amen. And they offer the prayers with the fasting and wholehearted devotions. Meanwhile, the Palestinians learned that Israel had gathered at the Mishpah, seeing this is an opportunity for a full-scale attack. They invade Israel. But this Israel was no longer the Israel that had abandoned God and practiced idolatry in the past. It was a new Israel, one that believed only in God and had repented. This was why God was with them. They asked Samuel to pray to God on their behalf and do not know how they address God. They call him our God. They say the God of Israel. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." When Jacob recognized and believed in God, he feared and delivered him. And just as Jacob confessed at Shechem, saying, "God, the God of Israel," they too come to recognize God. They were asking for prayers to God over salvation, the one who sees, watches over, and protects all that belongs to us. God declared that he is the God who watches over those who repent and turn from their wrongdoing. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, I'd like to read, "For thus says the High and Exalted One who lives forever, whose name is Holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." Amen. Their prayers and requests were made with the conviction that any problem could be resolved through prayer. Then Samuel built an altar to the Lord and cried out to him, and God answered him. Literally, God responded with the thunder before Samuel had finished praying. God's power, glory, and might manifested in a great thunder clap. You can see 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Finally, the people of Israel were delivered from the society and the curse of Egypt. Samuel took a stone and set it up at the high place at Mishpah. He named the stone Ebenezer, meaning stone of help. Oh, God has helped us thus far. Let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between the Mishpah and the sand and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." This very place is well 20 years earlier Israel had the Ark of the Covenant taken by the Philistines. You can see 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. Although the place where Samuel later set up the stone called the Ebenezer was near Mishpah and likely close to that earlier location, it is not certain that they were to exact same site. However, they both share the same name, Ebenezer, which means stone of help. However, the Israelite at Ebenezer mentioned in the 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, and those at Ebenezer mentioned in the 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, are entirely different peoples. They did not inquire of God beforehand and went to war without his guidance, suffering a crushing defeat. Above all, lacking faith in God, they carried the Ark of the Covenant into battle like the talisman, only to have it captured by the Philistines. A face that is merely formal or habitual becomes the priest, while the entire family of Eli, the priest, perished on the same day and where God's glory departed. Yet, 20 years later, it became the place where God appears as the God who watches over, guard and protect his people, the Israelites who repented thoroughly before him and longed for and liberated him. Through repentance, God himself became the Israel's stone of help. He is the redeeming God who transforms the place of defeat into the place of victory. Hallelujah. This Ebenezer, the stone of the help us, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that Psalm 118 verse 22 he's become a chief cornerstone. And the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 8, really, this is a very important verse. I like to read, even the long one. And I like to read, and coming to him as to a living stone, the rejected by man, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." This precious value then is for you who believes, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word, and to this stone they were also appointed. Amen. This stone is the foundation stone upon which our faith is built, the cornerstone that defeated all our adversaries, and the very stone David used to strike down Goliath, that is Ebenezer. You can say 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49 to 50. Finally, the shameful name Ichabod banished. All the land that had been taken was recovered, and peace came to the land. Sorrow, worry, anxiety, and fear disappeared. And the lost vision and word of God returned to Israel through Samuel pouring down like a brass rains. Are we not standing in the tragedy of Ichabod, where God's glory has departed? Are we dissatisfied in all things, perpetually anxious, and even when we come before God to the worship, hear his word and pray, do we find no peace in our heart? It is precisely because my heart is Ichabod. We must cling to God earnestly with all our heart. We must sorrowly repent for not living according to his word. We must cling to God and plead with him to put to death the earthly members that hold our heart and to fill us completely with the heavenly spiritual things. At rest, when the Lord in his mercy calls Jesus, the precious living stone, to be enthroned as the watchtower at the center of our heart, God's hand to bring eternal rest to us. Today, before my mishpah, as my faith stands firm, I pray in the name of the Lord that each of us may be victorious in driving out all sins and commit dismiss from our heart through Ebenezer. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you for granting us great enlightenment through your word again today. May you establish our individual's mishpah where we recognize the God who always watch over and help us with deliverance, believing that this God is our Father. We thank you for making us look back and see if our faith has become spiritually lazy, habitual, and formalistic, standing daily before Mishpah yet falling to live according to your word, neglecting God, neglecting a God-first, God-centered life, causing your glory to despair, depart, and leaving us as I am not longer your God. We thank you for loving us to the end today and for always being the glory of Ebenezer when we return to our individual mishpas. May our faith always be whole before the Father, grant us to pray with constant vigilance. In these rest days, you have made the love for church our Ebenezer. Grant that we may all live as those who have received the true stone of high health, the being the faithful unto death for the glory of the Father. All these things we earnestly ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.